Welcome to the Ancient Paths podcast. We are your hosts, Wendy and Shani, and we are two moms, a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation.
Today is our monthly Standing at the Crossroads Challenge episode for the month of February. We are going to talk about keep on keeping on in the garden and pretty much just everything gardening. We'll recap a little bit on January and ask how simplifying went, and then we'll get into the garden.
Yeah, so, that sounds good.
You want to
do the recapping or the tea time?
We can do the recapping.
Do the recapping? Then, yeah. How did purging and simplifying go for you?
I did clean out my freezers. I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done, but January ended up being a really busy month for me.
Yeah.
Because I went out of town.
You did.
And we had D-Now with the youth group at the church, and we also have a women's conference coming up this weekend.
Right, yeah.
So it just, some things fell through the cracks, but it's okay. They'll just get pushed to the next month.
Right. Yeah, it'll be okay.
The medicine cabinet did not get.
But you had a goal.
Fixed. I did.
And so if you would have had time, you would have filled your time doing that. And
that's but
the
whole, I did the
that's
meal
the whole
plan.
Idea, right?
I did the meal plan. We've done pretty good on that. We've figured out how we want to make some adjustments going forward. We talked about the budget, and I am going to do the household allowance thing.
Yeah, see, that worked
for February. So that worked out great. Yeah.
So your trajectory is still forward motion.
It's still forward motion.
Still forward motion. That's really good.
We may have zigzagged a little bit, but that's
zigzagged, but that's okay.
Still going forward.
It's still going forward. So I did get our freezer cleaned out and ready. It's ready for the new beef. We'll have another beef coming in next month, but it's ready.
Yep.
I got all of our files, went through every single piece of paper in our office and in the business, and got it all cleaned out and back organized. So I did a little bit of purge there, and I started on the bedrooms.
Nice.
So I'm making forward motion there.
I've really got to hit my whole house with the purging.
But and the barn. Haven't. We got the barn tools.
And you guys did the barn tools.
We did the barn tools. Yep. They're all organized, labeled, hanging up. Yeah. You know, sprayed with color, so when they're laying in the grass, we can see them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's helpful.
And the seeds, they're all organized.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So, we're both making progress. I wonder if everyone out there in podcast land.
Let us know how you're doing. If you decided to join us on the challenge, let us know what you were able to simplify. Obviously, we're not going to rag you for not meeting all your goals, because some of us don't meet our goals.
Right.
But that's okay. I got to do a lot of other things this month that I had not planned on originally.
We did. And our new challenge will be for February. Are we going to do the grow, just grow anything?
Yeah.
Is that what we decided?
Grow something.
Just grow something.
Yeah.
Just grow something, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good challenge.
And just have fun with it. Learn.
Yeah,
and
learn.
And be okay with failing.
Yeah, be okay with failing.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. You can do that. You can totally do that. So, tea time.
Yes.
What you do you want to tell the story about what you're drinking?
Wendy tried to kill me with a tea today.
I wasn't even paying attention. We had a loose tea and I'm talking and I just poured.
She put a whole teapot's worth in a cup.
I put a whole teapot's worth in her. I have one of those inserts that go in a cup instead of using the tea ball. Should have just grabbed the little tea ball out. But I just poured it in there. I'm just talking away and I pour the water in and it's probably about 40 teaspoons.
It looks like coffee.
But did you taste it now that I do the one teaspoon?
No, I haven't yet.
I did one teaspoon.
Kind of scared now.
This time I know it was really dark.
It was very, very bitter and very strong.
And I thought she was going to die.
Kept adding coconut sugar to it, but there was no way. It wasn't going to work.
So now she has one that has one teaspoon. We'll see how that goes. It's like a mango.
Okay, it is an organic mango pear deluxe premium blend of white tea. And it's flavored with apple pieces, freeze-dried mango cubes, marigold blossoms. Yeah.
And I have...
We'll see how it tastes now.
While you're tasting that, I have True Blueberry by Celestial Seasonings, which tastes totally like a blueberry.
Which was in a tea bag, so it's portioned out already.
It's portioned out with the one teaspoon. Whenever she comes, like the whole time she's over.
Oh, that's
here.
Much better.
Much better. Okay, praise God.
Much better.
So what we're doing? So in the middle of making the tea, I'm looking for a cookbook that I want to show her. I'm handing her a menu that I want her to print out and make pretty in Canva. I'm trying to find another recipe from a lady friend that I had years ago when I was her age, and I was handing her a day planner that I had years ago. I mean, this
we're
is
like
the way,
a whole nest of squirrels.
This is the way it's happening.
Yes.
When we get ready for the podcast, I mean, we have already She came over. She's already helped Adam move the bitty boxes. So bitty meaning baby chicken boxes. While I had to go get new shoes on, and then we walked through the garden a bit, and then we're in here. We're going through all the things, all the books.
We have to catch up
yeah. because it's only been seven. It's already been 7 days.
It's been 8 days.
8 days. That's right. You left early because you went out of town.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, what's going on is last time I said we survived the freeze, but we did not quite survive the freeze. the very last night we had some tomato damage, and we have had diesel and propane running. But we're hoping we can figure it out. Yeah. We're going to try to figure it out because we've got tomatoes hanging.
Yeah.
The tomatoes, the fruit didn't freeze. It's the leaves got some damage.
But the stems on most of them look okay.
They do. The roots look fine. Yeah. So hopefully they'll be okay. And then I don't even remember what else has been going on. It's just been the freeze of 2024.
How cold did it get here?
16.
Okay. So
maybe 17.
When I went on my trip in... to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It had snowed before we got up there. So we're driving up basically on ice in some places.
Yeah. You sent a picture. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was cool, but I'm really thankful.
But I wasn't in the car.
Right. I'm thankful that my dad grew up driving in those conditions. So I felt really comfortable. I didn't really get nervous until we were like the northernmost part of Alabama, almost to the Tennessee line. And we were literally just driving on straight ice. They hadn't plowed. They hadn't iced. The snow had melted enough to actually like create ice on the roads, but we made it. But it got down the day we left. It was 11 degrees that morning. And even the thermometer went down lower than that. But with the wind chill,
I bet it was minus really cold. 2.
It was cold. But it's okay.
It's almost summer here today.
I know. It's getting nice, humid.
Yes, yeah. Balmy. And yeah. The older I get, the more I realize I really don't. It's okay. The humidity's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do cold for a long time.
I miss the humidity. I'm going to regret saying this in the summer. You will hear me say in the summer, I hate how humid it is. But in the winter, when it gets really dry, I miss the humidity a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Just a smidge.
This is nice. This warm, balmy stuff we've got going on. So I'm real thankful for that. I think that's really cool. So you went to Tennessee.
Yep.
I did survive the freeze, but not as well as I thought.
Yeah.
And that's all I can think of right now.
Yeah.
Of what's been going on this week.
We have a busy weekend coming up, but it's going to be good.
We've been working a lot, really hard on the farm to replace. We had rain before the freeze, so we've been working really hard to replace the seeds that we think were moved around, and we're just getting everything ready for the spring CSA.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty fun.
Yeah. So what you reading?
Oh, what am I reading? So I've got two books that I am reading that I'm revisiting. We've already talked about this a long time ago in our book recommendation list, is the Charles Dowding's Vegetable Course. I love it. It gets me inspired. I can go back. And right now what I'm looking at it for is they have a different zone, obviously. So he tells you when to plant it. So I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at more of what germination rates.
Yeah.
When you look at the temperature for the seed, what the best germination is for the soil.
Right.
And that helps me know what I can plant here. Because if you look at our zone map, like our zone map says, well, it used to say 8B, now it says 9A. But if you look at it, it will give you the list of things that you can plant. But it's just from their perspective, there are a lot more things you can plant. You're just not thinking of it. There were a lot of plants and trees and shrubs and things that people grew in our area a long time ago. But what happens is if you can't source those things, so my great-grandmother lived in the Flemington area, which is South Alabama, and she had olive trees. Well, you just can't go to Lowe's wherever.
You actually can't get olive trees. You can get olive trees now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if the buyer doesn't buy a certain thing, you can't get it.
Right.
You know, so back then they used to pass along plants in the South, and people would share cuttings and they would graft and they would propagate, and they just don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So by the end of your life, you had gathered a lot of flowers and plants and things. But now, We can with the magic of seeds, the internet, we can source a lot of things. Yeah. So I like to look at this book. It talks about, it has a different plants. It tells weed problems. It tells irrigation problems, anything, you know, how many things you can crop one right after the other. And the pictures are just amazing.
He's really thorough. I actually brought two of his books
Did
today.
You really? How funny. What are the odds?
We love Charles Dowding. Did you know he's actually in USDA zone, what's considered USDA zone 8?
Oh, cool.
But so he's a little bit above us. Being in the UK,
they have the salt. Well, they're on the island.
So. Right. But they get snow. Like, just like you can have people in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
we're also Seattle's zone 8. Yes. Mm-hmm, Seattle's 8, but they also get snow. We don't get snow. We're in a microclimate down
right,
here.
Right. Yeah.
We're different.
We're coastal.
Yeah.
So, especially if you go further down.
Yeah. But it still gets cold.
So, you tell your book, and then I'll tell my other book.
Oh, okay. So, the book that I brought to for what I'm reading, the kids and I just started reading The Boxcar Children.
I love them.
And we're listening to them at lunchtime, and we listened to some in the car today when we were driving home from our field trip. And it's so fun because it's getting the kids, like, it's inspiring them to go and do some things. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't run away and live in a boxcar, but like they went on a treasure hunt yesterday all on their own because the kids said that they were going to go on a treasure hunt, which really they were going to look for a dump so they could go find like old plates and dishes to stock their home with. But my kids went on a treasure hunt.
You need to read that. Happy Hollisters.
Happy Hollisters.
I really think they were homeschoolers. It was from the 30s, I think.
Okay.
I think I have one you can take home with you.
Okay.
But they do the same thing. Yeah. They have plays and they do.
Yeah.
And it gives the kids ideas of imagination.
Just, instead of suppressing their imagination by like, not that I'm against TV. I still let, you know, we enjoy watching movies and I still let my kids watch some shows, but I've noticed a lot lately that when we just let them sit in front of the TV and veg out, they're just being entertained instead of figuring out how to entertain themselves and to do something outside of themselves. And I just like it better. They're nicer people when they go outside and play.
We as adults are very similar.
Oh, yes. We do the same thing.
We do the same thing. Yeah.
But so that one was fun. What's your second one?
The second one is The Wellness Mama, 5-Step Lifestyle Detox, the essential DIY guide to a healthier, cleaner, all-natural life. It's from Katie Wells. She has a podcast and a blog is when I found her years ago. And I just love, I love the content. She's put this in a book form. It's beautiful. It's a hardback. She has different poultices in here. She has different natural medicine recipes. And just basically step one, step two, indoor pollutants, estrogen disruptors, and not estrogen, endocrine disruptors, as if estrogen would be one of the hormones affected.
Well, but, there's xenoestrogens and a lot of things.
Yeah, right. Yep. I know, right. Yep. So you have to be really careful. But and she actually has, we talked about last week, she has actually a meal plan in here, taking the stress out of meal planning. Yeah, I got this one from off of her website, but I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, I listened to a few of her podcast episodes, and I really liked how they were done. Like, they're, it's, she interviews people and just has a lot of really good information. It really reminded me of the Weston A. Price.
Yeah.
Podcast,
like she had Hashimoto's.
The conversations that they talk about. I really
that's how I found her, was the Hashimoto's. Yeah. But listen, what I just turned to this page. It's on page 36. Listen to this. Tell me if it sounds like somebody you know.
Okay.
Focus on core recipes. Discover and identify recipes your family enjoys. Then make them your core recipes, ones that you'll repeat every few weeks. Try to build up to about 20 of these, and you won't ever be bored with your meals. Each week, we use these core meals for 5 of your dinners, then try something new for 2 dinners. If you get really motivated, develop variations on these 20 core meals so that you're using fresh and seasoned produce. And this system helps you save money on food, too. That's so funny. I think she's my child.
Oh, my goodness. That's exactly what we talked about in the last 2 episodes.
I know it is. I know that's so funny.
And we are, by the way, working on an ebook, putting this together to help with the ingredient pantry concept.
Yeah. Well, and I say we, Shani is, but it, well, no, I will help her at
the
some
information
point.
Is compiled.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be helpful to you. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. So you're going to hear the same types of ideas from a lot of people, which should confirm to you that
maybe that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Maybe you're doing the right thing. That leads me to my second book, which is A Year Without the Grocery Store. I've also talked about this one before, but, Karen Morris talks a lot about this, about the idea of picking the meals, figuring out, what it is that your family will eat and eating those things. Now, this book is specifically talking about building up food storage, which is something that our ebook will talk about a little bit. And you can decide if building up a food storage is not a priority for you, no judgment. I just happen to think that it does save money, if nothing else. It saves money to have food on hand so that if you're in a pinch and you need a quick meal, you don't have to make the complicated thing because you've got 10 boxes of store-bought pasta on the shelf. Sure. You can pull one from. Mm-hmm. And that's food storage is going to look different for everybody based on how your family eats. But
nobody wants to run to the store. That's fuel and time. Your time is worth something.
Yeah. So hopefully, though, that will be a good resource for you. And of course, anytime we mention a book, we are hoping that you enjoy that resource as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Because they're good. Yeah.
So that was a good tea time discussion. Now we're going to get into the talking about keeping on garden prep.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about getting started with our gardening. So
where do we start with a garden?
Okay, first you need to decide what kind of garden, like we're talking vegetables preferably.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. So if we're talking about what are you going to, it's like your pantry, what are you going to cook? What are you going to grow?
Yeah.
What does your family like to eat? Why would you want to grow that?
Yeah.
And I would pick a few things. So easy things would be carrots. Mm-hmm. If it's cool weather, where it is, where you are, it's still a good time. It's a 100-day crop, but you still have time. Lettuces, cucumber. Most people like cucumbers, tomatoes. When they think of gardening, they think of those types of vegetables. So I would make a list of a few types of vegetables you want to grow. If you've never grown anything before, keep the list below 5.
Yeah.
I really would suggest that. And then try to figure out what kind. So if you like lettuce, I say a gazillion, but there's a lot of varieties of lettuce. Number one, once you figure out what you want to grow, then you need to figure out where you're going to grow it.
Yeah.
Are you in an apartment? You're going to grow it in a container.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to grow it in and you have land in the back of your house? You're going to grow it in a Rubbermaid. You can grow it actually in bags of soil.
Yeah.
You know, pick how much
just
money.
Just the bags you get at Lowe's. You don't even have to put it into
anything
exactly.
else. You sure can. So you need to just figure out what is your goal? Are you going to try to replace an item from the grocery store? Let's just say you want to, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, grow just lettuce. So you'll have 4 or 5 weeks worth of lettuce and you don't have to buy that from the grocery store. Are you supplementing your pantry? Mm-hmm. Is that why you're doing it? Or do you want to grow something different you've never tried before that you can't find at your grocery store?
Kohlrabi.
Yeah.
I love kohlrabi. Yeah. I struggle to grow
I don't think yesterday.
I don't think I water it enough.
It's a really fast crop.
I know. And that's, I kind of want to get good at growing it because it's broccoli that grows really, really fast, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the stem of the broccoli.
It is. It's a round bulb. Yeah. They have a white and then they have a purple.
Yeah.
And it's a bulb that looks like it has weird arm looking leaves coming out of it, but it's crunchy.
It kind makes of it like really a celeriac. Good coleslaw.
It does make a really good coleslaw.
I would say if you're going to grow, going on the lettuce thing, if you're going to grow, whether you live in an apartment or in a house or whatever, we used to have one of these and I really regret selling it because I kind of miss it now. Like I would love to have a tower garden.
A tower garden.
A hydroponic indoor tower garden. Mm-hmm. And we had ours outside too, but that's something I've thought about, especially in the winter.
They're real popular right now.
To get one again. The water feature part of it is really cool sounding. It's super easy to grow in. It's so hands off. You put the nutrients in, you make sure there's enough water in it and you let it go.
Right.
And you can grow anything in it.
Right.
I mean, I've grown the things that I enjoyed growing the most on it were lettuce and kale. But you can grow beans, you can grow squash, you can grow tomatoes.
There's a certain variety that I'm trying to think of the name that I know that Lazy Days or, you know, the Deep South Homestead, she's got one and, Crazy Days.
We had the Juice Plus brand.
The Juice Plus brand.
The Juice Plus Tower Garden. Now they're expensive. It was a gift. When we moved, we did not have a place to store it. And so we sold it, but we used it for 4 years.
If you don't mind, like not having a water source and watering them. They do at the Dollar Tree have those little ones where they're kind of, they have three. They're
oh, shaped, yes.
And you can kind of stack
you
them
You can totally make one. Get a little like a little garden pond pump at mm-hmm. Walmart and make one because yeah. it just keeps the water circulating.
Through.
And the whole point is you put the water soluble nutrients in the base mm-hmm. and then that water, that pump pumps it up and it flows over the roots and you'll have root systems that are like 3 feet right, long,
really long, yeah.
depending on the size of the tower garden. But
there's, yeah. there's one out there and it's not the MI Gardener. It's the one that's in Louisiana. I forgot his name, but he hasn't done a YouTube for a long time, but you can find it. But I learned the Kratky method from him.
You sent me those mm-hmm. videos.
Yeah,
yes.
a long time ago. And you can use a Rubbermaid with water.
Yes.
The same concept and grow lettuces in them. You can grow a lot of things in them, but yeah. lettuces is what we grew. We actually had tables, 4x8 wooden tables, where we had the water and the wool cubes, rock wool cubes. And we would grow hydroponic lettuce in there. And that's yeah. possible. And that the Kratky method is without a pump. Yeah. You don't have to have a pump. And so you can do the yes. same thing in a Rubbermaid if you want to.
Yeah.
So figure out what is your medium that you're going to grow in and where you're going to grow. And then make a list of what you're going to grow. So we'll just hypothetically make our own little garden here. We're going to have lettuce. Well, what lettuce do I like? Do I like iceberg lettuce, romaine lettuce, frilly lettuce, leaf lettuce? Endive, that type of lettuce. What would I like? And I would suggest just research where you live and what grows best there at what time. Lettuce really likes cool weather. So right now is really good time to grow any kind of lettuce. And I would say the leafy green type would be the best because it's more vitamins. But romaine yeah. is easy.
Yeah.
Most lettuces are between 40 and 60 days to be harvested. And you can germinate them quickly yeah. right now.
We grew in our old house. I'll have to go back and find pictures and share them. But I wanted to grow I can't even think of the name now. I grew a lettuce bed, the whole garden bed. We did raised beds in Navarre because it's all sand, basically.
It is.
Even if you did a 4-inch raised bed, you gave it enough soil to grow in. You know, enough nutrient mm-hmm. soil at the top. But I basically just grew the lettuce really close together mm-hmm. in rows. And
good
so
idea.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then we could just go off and pull off the mm-hmm. leaves that we needed. And it lasted for a long time before it got bitter.
Wow.
But I can't think of the name. Basically, it's just really dense planted, mm-hmm. densely
yeah.
planted
and,
lettuce.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If you're going to water it and you're going to fertilize it,
yeah.
you can plant it as close together as you want.
Yeah.
Lettuce is a cut and come again mostly,
yes.
so you can make a
salad.
As long as you don't pull the whole thing up,
yeah.
it will come back. Be careful where you cut it.
Yeah.
But once you cut it, you can make a spring mix. You can make yeah. anything, and baby leaves are ready in 20 days.
Yeah.
So you
I'd
can
love
have a spring
to
mix.
Do like the checkerboard pattern with mm-hmm. lettuce plants.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
It would be gorgeous.
That would be gorgeous.
But I just don't, like, you know, we've talked mm-hmm. about my seed starting capabilities. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about seed starting?
We'll talk about seed starting. Yeah, this year we're growing a Salanova mix. We have a guy that wants to sell salad mix to the restaurants.
Yeah.
We're thinking about getting into that business with Adam yeah. Home. I think I can think about it a little bit more, but we haven't done it yet, but we're going to practice
yeah.
and see how it goes. And then maybe for the fall we can go commercial
yeah.
with it. But the Salanova is that pretty green, red, type.
Yeah.
I think High Mowing Seeds has the PMR, which is good.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was I going to say? The seed starting. Okay. So once you figure out what you're going to grow, figure out you need a source for your seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to get them? Okay. There's a whole lot of confusion out there, folks, with GMO and non-GMO.
Yeah.
Okay, GMO seeds are extremely expensive. You are probably not going to find GMO seeds out there that you can afford to buy because GMO seeds are patented.
Yeah.
And they're mostly for farmers, commercial farmers. It's mostly corn, soybeans, things like that, because the rights to the seed are owned.
Right.
So most of the stuff out there is going to be non-GMO. Don't get confused with organic and non-GMO. If it's organic, it's definitely non-GMO. But there is a difference between organic and non-GMO. So non-GMO just means it's not genetically modified. It means someone hasn't come in and taken that inside of that seed and done something to the DNA of the
okay.
seed. So And mostly all of our GMO seeds in the United States are GMO because, at least that's how it started, was they would be Roundup ready.
Yes.
Yeah. So you, the glyphosate, which is Roundup, is, well, what they do is they plant the plant and then they spray the whole crop with the glyphosate. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So
that sounds right.
Yeah. And so when they spray it, the plant still lives because it's resistant. It's been trained to be resistant or modified to be resistant to that, which makes them not have to get weed killer that's just specific. It just gets real complicated and expensive and dangerous. So that's how they do that. But we don't typically have that when you order seeds from any seed supplier. It's very rare you're going to get a genetically modified seed. But you can get seed that's not organic. And really, you would really like organic seed. It's a good thing. But once you plant it, it doesn't matter anymore. Because if you're going to grow it in an organic way, it's a plant. It's going to be okay.
Right.
But the organic, then you know the seed itself has not been sprayed or fumigated.
Okay.
When they're harvesting
it.
So
that's the difference between
organic
versus non-organic.
So if I have a plant and I spray it with, let's just say, a pesticide or an herbicide or whatever, I can't call that organic unless I spray it. I can still spray it as long as it meets the OMRI, the organic standards for the industry. And then it can be organic.
Let's say that really quick. Just because it's organic doesn't mean it wasn't sprayed with something.
Oh, absolutely.
There are still things that organic farmers can spray.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And are they still toxic?
And well, they, okay. So if you have an organic insecticide, insecticide is the key word.
Yeah.
IDE means to kill something.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it's going to kill an insect.
Yeah.
Right. But is it going to cause a lot of harm to a human, right? If you drink it, eat it, or whatever. They still have warning labels on the organic insecticide.
Yeah.
They're still not absolutely you can drink it. I mean, it's not like that. They're just safer. They're better for the environment.
Yeah. I think that is a misconception a lot of times.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I maybe need to learn how to fertilize a little bit better and treat my plants a little bit better, but I don't put anything on them.
Mm.
And we just get what we get.
Right.
Like I don't really fertilize other than giving them good compost to grow in. Mm-hmm. And I don't really spray anything.
You plant extra for the bugs.
Yeah. That's really what I do.
Yeah. It'll be okay. We have a lot of
insects. What do they call that? It's not a sacrificial plant, but like the bait plant.
Mm-hmm. Is there another name?
The trap crop. See?
It's called a trap crop.
I knew there was another word
there
for it.
There is.
The trap crop.
We have trap crops here.
We use sunflowers.
Well, you've been here when the sunflower, you see the sunflowers in the summer. They're all around the whole.
Yeah. Do yours get covered in squash bugs?
All the bugs. Stink bugs. All the bugs.
My
because
goodness.
They're the trap.
Well, I think that's
they're
what
planted
really is,
for the
stink bugs.
Yeah.
Did you know that stink bugs will fly at you and attack you?
They will.
You?
Mm-hmm.
I have been attacked.
They
by
will
them
bite.
Before. They do bite. Mm-hmm. I've been bitten by one and it's not fun.
But we use sunflowers as a trap crop.
Yeah.
There's lots of other trap crops. Marigolds are trap crops.
It's a good thing I like sunflowers.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. Put them all around everything,
all around
the outside. And they're just the first mode of defense, right? They're coming in. So, okay, so back to the seeds.
Yes.
Figure out where you're going to buy your seeds. There's a lot of really good places that are very reputable. A thing that you really want to look for is germination rate. From a different company. There are only a few seed companies in the United States, you know, the big, big ones.
Yeah.
And then people buy their seeds from them. And then people buy those seeds from them and those seeds from them. So, they're all coming from the same spot, really.
Let's talk from the same few heirloom spots. Versus hybrid.
Okay. So an heirloom, which everybody, and it is a good thing. These are good things.
Yeah.
These are ones that are open pollinated, which means you grow them. The bugs come, the wind blows. And they will pollinate the other plant, right? And it's true to seed every single time.
Yep.
So let's just say we have a Brandywine. A Brandywine is an heirloom tomato. It is open pollinated, which means the seeds that come from that tomato are going to grow another Brandywine every single year. They're heirlooms. Now, are they marketable? Probably not. They're what Misfits Market would consider ugly fruit.
Right.
You can't standardize them. They're not the same. They That's don't have the like same them. Colors. But the taste is out of the world. You really cannot replicate that.
Yeah.
Any kind of open pollinated heirloom type is going to be like that. Now, what we have is called hybrids. That's when people start getting into the, oh, it's a GMO. No.
It's not.
No.
Yeah.
A hybrid is when you take a brandy wine. Let's just say the brandy wine is a good pink German one and it tastes delicious, but I want it marketable. I can't grow them here very well because we have such high humidity.
Yeah.
So if I can
and it takes a long time for a big slicer like that to grow.
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah. And if it's raining every day and the microbes from the soil are splashing up and you've got powdery mildew, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that, the mama or the daddy, one of them's going to be brandy wine and the other one, I'm going to make a baby and I'm going to have another one that's maybe not doesn't taste as well, but it's really resistant to powdery mildew.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make a baby from that. Then I take that fruit off of that plant and then that seed is what we have.
And that's considered an F1 hybrid.
F1 hybrid.
Because it's not been stabilized yet.
Right, exactly. Okay. And so you can get those everywhere. Johnny's Seed has them. Territorial Seed is good for Southern Seeds. Southern Exposure, Southern Seed Savers Exchange. Seed Savers Exchange is really fun because years ago they had a forum and you could log into the forum, which now they have an actual website and a Facebook page, but you can barter seeds with other people. Oh, you can share your seeds. They'll send you seeds. That's pretty fun.
I've ordered from both of those before.
Or you can buy them.
Seed Exposure and the Seed Savers Exchange.
Yeah. And Johnny's is good. Mm-hmm. High Mowing Organics. It's more for commercial farms, but High Mowing Organics. And my gardener is good. Yeah. He's really good. He's really gotten into the seeds, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be more. We can list a whole bunch of resources. I'll go through my catalogs
Park,
in there.
Is Park Seeds one?
Parks is under Gurney's. I think they're with Gurney's and Shumway. Okay. I'm not really sure. But you look at the quantity of the seed you're getting. And they're all about the same, no matter which way you go. They're all coming from pretty much the same place, except Johnny's and Baker, RareCareerSeeds.com, Baker Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Baker Creek, they get theirs from people.
Yes.
A lot of the times. They have farmers that all over the country.
Their website is
all over the
Rare
world.
Seeds.
Yeah, RareSeeds.com.
Rare Seeds. That one's really fun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unusual plants, unusual seeds that you can get from them. But they do have some pretty typical ones too.
And Haas Seeds. Haas Tools has a lot of seeds and they get theirs from Cicada, I believe. Cicada is their seed supplier.
Okay.
And he actually just put a YouTube out, I thought, on the seed suppliers, but I haven't watched it yet. So maybe I should watch that.
Yeah. Okay. So what about
you've sourced your seeds.
So what if we don't want to start from seeds? Because remember, I have seed starting.
You have seed starting
problems.
Phobias.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So if you don't want to start from
phobias.
Seed phobias.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You have seed starting phobias. So if you want to buy them, you can buy them from Lowe's or a nursery, but you're going to be limited on what you can get.
Yes.
So I would suggest looking on Facebook Marketplace in your area and find small farms like ours that will sell you a few here and there.
Get to know your local people.
Get to know your local farmer. Yeah, or your local.
Or the co-op.
Or the co-op, yeah.
I've gotten collards and broccoli starts from up there before.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like in bundles.
Mm-hmm. In Alabama, we have a lot of co-ops. I think we have them in Florida, too. I think there's one in Jay, but the one in Alabama, no truckers. They have a lot of little seed starts you can get. So, for instance, if you live in, like we do, and you're living near a co-op, you can get them. They're just plugs, actually. Let's just say they're cabbage. You get 25 of them. They were grown in a shallow plug with a little bit of soil.
Yep.
And they reach a certain height. And they just pull those things out. They wrap them in a rubber band. And then you can buy the whole bunch. They do it with onions as well.
That was so handy for me.
It is, yeah.
And I know I want to get to the point where I can just make my own plugs and plant my own plugs. But
you can, but it is a babysitting. I mean, I have an alarm. I water in the morning. I water in the evening.
I have four kids. I'm taking care of. It's hard. Mm-hmm. That has been something I have had to not let myself get discouraged over because it's very easy to get discouraged over it. But it's okay if you can't start from seeds. Mm-hmm. There are other options.
Sure. Yeah, there are other options. You can buy them anywhere locally. I would say a feed store, farmer store. And we actually, I was looking on the Instagram and I follow East Hill Edible Gardening. They're in Pensacola. I don't know them, but I've always looked at their stuff and they have some cool stuff I know you can buy. Sometimes I think they were at Palafox Market.
Yes.
But there's a couple other places. We have a thing in April. We thought we were going to try to go this year, but I don't think we will. The IFAS, our Florida Extension Service. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a big flower show in Milton at the Pensacola State Campus. It's 3 days. A lot of people will be selling flowers there. Call your local garden club, the Federation of Garden Clubs. They have people growing plants, not just flowers.
Yeah.
They have vegetables, and you can hook up with them and find out when they're going to have sales. And go buy vegetables from them. And sometimes if you join a garden club, people will share with you.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get them fairly cheap or fairly inexpensively. But there's a lot of seeds that will grow very easily from very easily if you put them inside. The only thing is they need that light. You either have to buy a light to put over them, an LED, or you have to have them outside under something. I did not have a greenhouse, but I had a neighbor and I had this little plan for a cold frame.
Yes.
That I got from the Elliot Coleman New Market Gardener book years ago. And he had some extra wood and he worked for a glass company and he gave me some glass.
Yeah.
And I started my seed in the glass in the cold frame. That's how
I got started. I thought about doing that because mm-hmm. I've done some of those little pop-up greenhouses and the temperature fluctuates too much in there, but having a cold frame, I think would work better.
It worked really well for me because the soil's very warm.
Yeah.
And when the sun hits that glass, it gets really hot. Yes. Things grew quickly in there.
Well, and so the thing I found with starting seeds inside and not taking them outside is they're weak and leggy.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're reaching for the sunlight that's at the window. So I definitely know that I want them to be outside. Mm-hmm. So maybe by next
you would put your cold frame on the south side.
I have mine.
And it would be like, it's really simple. All it is the back is a higher piece of wood that slopes down toward the south.
Yep.
And then you just stick a piece of glass on there or plastic from Harbor Freight. It doesn't have to be glass, but you just want it to you want it on the soil because the soil's already warm here anyway, for sure.
I was thinking I could put some in my terrace garden, right?
That would be pretty.
Out my door. Mm-hmm. Because that is the south side that it's also the house helps block some of the north wind.
I think that's a good place.
And then it gets sun all day long.
Yeah.
I need to, this past gardening year, my goal was to grow as many tomatoes and peppers as I could. And I definitely did that.
Yeah.
I planted a lot of, now all my plants were Bonnie plants from Lowe's, but I planted peppers, jalapenos, poblanos and banana peppers in April, and I harvested the last of them in November.
Yeah.
They made it through the drought and we harvested all year long. And so and I
made money off of the jalapenos.
And I did make money off the jalapenos. So I know that I was actually counting how many I'm gonna grow this year because I want to grow even more of them. But I think this coming year I need to get on the seed starting thing and get a little bit better at that and just grow every year.
Yeah, just grow. Make yourself a little cold frame of some sort. And even if you can't build it, I'm trying to think of some really easy ways.
So like fence, privacy fence pickets are 6 feet long.
You can usually get those for 99 cents.
Yeah, they're not expensive at all. I actually built my own bitty box for chicks with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got 1 2x4. And that was, I built that thing by myself. I had the saw out by myself. I didn't want any help. I wanted to be able to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. It's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but it works.
You know, there's these straps.
But I could build the same
thing. I don't know what they're called. I have to ask Adam. But they go along and they have like a loop.
Uh-huh.
And then they come out this way. So they kind of look like an omega symbol, you know, it goes like that, but they're metal and it's probably pulled apart, but you can screw those into the pickets and then you put rebar in them and that holds them vertically or horizontally in the ground.
Yeah.
So you could essentially do two or three on the back, do one or two on the side and then just lay the plastic on the top.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you have some source for plastic, whether it's Harbor Freight, you know, one, you know, that thin sheeting, or something, or just a piece of glass is not that expensive to get.
Well, from and Lowe's. You can, I've seen on Pinterest where people use like antique windows. You don't need a ton of them.
Garage sales for windows.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one thing, this is back to what we were talking about. I forgot. Call your extension agent always use them. They're for a reason. Call them about if they know somebody that's selling plants. They may know a master gardener that is selling plants.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start our seeds. There's many mediums you can use to start the seeds if you're going to start the seeds. So I use several different ways. I've got 10-20 trays. You know, I've got the 72 cells, all the different sizes cells. Mm-hmm. You can start them in that. You can start them in cups, Dixie cups, toilet paper rolls. We used to take tomato paste can and wrap newspaper around it and make little containers, egg cartons. Sometimes use a soil blockers.
I was about to say, I like the soil blocker.
Mm-hmm. I do like the soil blocker. Expensive, but it's an investment. You have to look at it that way.
I have the 10-20 tray and the soil blocker. I have some other ones too, but I like that. But I want to get the one that's got the plug size soil blocker, the smaller one.
Yeah.
I can't think of who the lady is on Facebook. I keep seeing her. I'll have to find it. But I like that. And then she starts them in the little tiny one and then she has the next size up soil blocker and it cuts out that little cube and then she just plugs them in.
You can borrow mine. I will let
I think that would be cool.
It is cool. And I use those. As a matter of fact, I have them in there for the flowers, the little ones, and they have like a divot in the top and you put your seed in there.
Yep.
So you don't have to cover it with vermiculite or anything and they'll start growing. And then when they get big enough, I'll just put them in the big soil block.
Yeah.
If I don't put them in the dirt.
Yeah.
And that is it. But if you're going to do it and you know you like it, save up for that.
Yeah.
Elliot Coleman, I think, invented that because they air prune themselves.
Yeah.
The roots do. Yep. And so they're a sturdier root.
Yeah. I think that's what I keep reading about it is that it's just healthier. The plant is healthier overall because they don't get root bound.
Yeah.
And plus you don't have the plastic and all of
you
that.
Don't. You it's very sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very sustainable.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways you can do seeds. You can
they're
start
only
them.
About $30. On I
about
Amazon.
Say, I don't think they're not
very
much.
Expensive.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you're wanting to do it, go ahead and invest in that. If you have the right tool, the job is more fun and not so stressful.
Yeah.
And so if you know you're going to keep doing it, if not, just you can sell it
I
later.
I think that's been my problem with seed starting. Mm-hmm. I don't have the right greenhouse tool.
Yeah.
I don't have the right one for the scale that I want. And that's why I don't want to spend my money and my time doing it until I have that right tool.
Right. Yeah.
Because
it does make
you can
a
waste a lot of money.
You can.
If you're not doing it right.
And like you said earlier, when we were in the high tunnel you know, if you forget one morning, you've lost a lot of seedlings.
And it's easy to forget one morning.
It is easy to forget
when something
one
happens with one of the kids.
It does.
You've got to go do this or the dog
really
gets
does.
Out and you forget to go.
It does. You have to be real consistent. We do have some trays. Some of them are sitting in some water. We can overwater them when we're going out of town or something. But that's expensive too. You don't want them to sit in water. You do need to kind of babysit them and know.
Yeah.
So we've got the seeds and they're starting. We talked about that. Now, once you get them going, you got to know when to plant them in the ground.
Yes.
So you need to know your zone. You need to call your extension service. You need to look. In our zone right now, you can plant almost everything.
Wendy has it and written out seeds. Really pretty on her whiteboard.
I do have it.
To share a picture.
Yeah, I do have it. I do have it written out. And let me see if I can find my picture for zone AB. So it's going to be different for everyone. You need to look in your area and see.
Which you can just Google USDA growing zone and then put your zip code in.
You can. Yeah.
And there's it'll tell you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of software out there that's great. One I'm using right now for me is called Seed Time.
Uh-huh.
Love it. I love it, love it, love it, because I can put in when I want something to be harvestable, and it tells me when to plant, tells me when to cultivate, tells me, even goes with the varieties. They do a lot with Johnny, so that helps. I also have our garden laid out on Mother Earth Garden Planner, but you can get that garden planner software through other things. It's the same one, but
I've done one.
But it's
one,
about 25 a year, something like that.
Yeah, I've done one before through the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, it's
site.
The same one. Same one.
And it's fun to play with. I did it more when I was kind of dreaming of how I wanted to build my homestead and like where I wanted things to be placed. And things have changed since then. But I am I have got to fence my garden between the deer and the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
My chickens, I have about five of them that get out of their netted area every day, and they make it back in before mm-hmm. bedtime. They do it on purpose, the little things. And they get out in my garden, and they have mm-hmm. just, they have not gone after the collards, but they've eaten all the cilantro, the parsley. They haven't messed with the garlic, but they also have scratched up all the soil mm-hmm. that it's going to be so nice to plant
in. It will be, yeah.
It's just a little bit frustrating to me. And I know that they're probably enjoying the bugs, but I'm going to have to fence it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my garden layout may change a little bit yeah. once I fence, so that I do like a bed that borders the fence mm-hmm. and then I can do rows inside of that. But I don't know if that's going to happen this year. So mm-hmm. I may just have to fight chickens this year.
You may have to fight chickens. We had yeah. them when the boys were little. It was so funny.
I don't want to clip their wings. Like, that's how they're getting out, is they're flying over the net.
Why don't you clip their wings?
I don't want to clip their wings.
Why?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to do it wrong, first of all. And I also, like, it, that's really their one defense mechanism.
Right.
Well, is flying away.
Do you have predators?
We have buzzards, but I've got three roosters, and the roosters thus far have kept all the hens alive. Yeah.
Well, we trim our wings. We trim our
well, maybe wings. Adam can come over and clip yeah, my chicken's
it's
wings.
It's really simple. You just want that first layer. You just cut yeah, the first layer. You do it at night.
The next time we get chicks, I want to just do it when they're babies, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
No, you have to keep doing them. They will regrow them. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. They will keep even regrowing that one layer.
Ugh, I don't want to do that.
I know, it's crazy, but ours fly over. Ours would be flying over those fences. When the boys were little, we had a few of them that were just rogue, and that yes. were just. I've only got one. We only do it on one side, so they kind of just. Yeah. They know they're off balance, so they don't fly.
That's
but
so funny.
I had all the lettuce over where they have the herbs now, where that leaning tree is from the yeah. hurricane, and they would go. The kids would go, "It's a salad bar." I mean, they would yes. just go straight over and eat all that lettuce.
Oh yeah,
it was so.
What's
funny.
What's funny is when I'll pull back in from being out somewhere. All of them will like scurry across. Like I don't see them running from the garden back to the coop. They're so ridiculous. Smart.
So here,
I do love having chickens.
Right now, our frost date used to be March 15th. I don't know if it's changed with the new.
I'm not really believing that it's changed.
Yeah, I know
anyway.
It's crazy, isn't it? So right now here in our zone, direct seed, I can grow beets, broccoli, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, Chinese cabbage, garden peas, kale, kohlrabi, leeks, lettuce, mustard, onions, potatoes, radishes, rutabaga, shallots, spinach, switch chard, turnips, and collards. At least that's for us.
Potatoes. We got
to
get potatoes.
We got to get potatoes. I forgot to get them. I need to order them. Yeah. We did that last year.
We
had potatoes and
Wendy
I forgot.
Wendy gave me probably, I don't know, maybe 25 pounds worth something. Of seed potatoes. And it was such, maybe not even that much. It was such a blessing. We had so much fun growing them.
Yeah.
And then digging
and
them
good.
Up.
Yeah.
And so now we know we can grow them, and they're super easy and hands off.
They are super
easy.
We're
going to go wild with potatoes this year.
So indoors, you need to be go ahead and thinking about your summer plants.
Yeah.
Like your peppers, tomatoes, and eggplants. Go ahead and get them. They need to be bottom warmed. If you're going to do them inside, you need a germination mat or the top of your refrigerator, and yeah. go ahead and get those seeds planted. And your flowers, if you're going to use companion flowers as trap crops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it would be calendula, bachelor button, nasturtium, and nicotiana. I would start those inside. However, the nicotiana I just gave you is
yeah.
was in the high tunnel though, but I don't think it will freeze.
Yeah.
That's nicotine.
Last year we
for
had
those tobacco plant.
Yeah. Last year we had a lot. We had a later freeze, didn't we? In February?
We did. And usually we will have a hard 10-day freeze in January. And sometimes we have February, but it snowed in March 20 years ago. I mean, it will. There might be another chance, so just be careful.
I think I put things out last year, and I remember having to go out and cover them because the temperatures were going lower than I was planning on them going. But I'm also somebody who kind of pushes that just a smidge.
Right.
But if you're investing a lot of money in like ready-to-pop-in-the-ground plants,
right.
then maybe be a little more cautious. Because I know that I want to do that, honestly, within the next, it's kind of funny the way that Lowe's works, they don't really buy plants early enough for most gardeners. Mm-mm. So you have to keep an eye on, and when they bring their Bonnie plants in, and you're going to get those six packs of plants, you've got to get them at the beginning when they're little. Mm-hmm. And get them early, and you're going to be taking them in and out of your house to keep them warm at night, mm-hmm. and get them sun in the day.
Right.
But see, I can do that. It's just it's getting them from the babies to right. those plants, the teenage plants that I haven't quite mastered yet. But I'll get them as soon as I can. So then when the temperatures, the nighttime temperature is warm enough, where I'm not going to risk them freezing, right. then I can put them in the garden, and then they'll start growing. And you just get that extra edge on the growing time. Cause we have to plant as early as we can in the spring, because we're worried about it getting too hot and humid in the summer.
It will. And things will bolt, uh-huh. you know, especially greens are going to uh-huh. bolt. So yeah, you have to think about that. So one thing, if those of you who are actually homesteading already out there, I would encourage you to keep records. I can pop some record keeping papers up, especially on Patreon.
That'd be helpful.
Give you an idea, go ahead and keep records. What's the temperature today? I have one sheet in particular. I'll see if I can get Shani, or I'll pop on Canva to do it. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 30, 31, depending on the days of the month. Print 12 of them out, and then just jot down something. The temperature today was rain. Today.
What a fun project to do with your kids too, though, sure. whether you're homeschooling or not.
Keep track. Planted greens, planted okra, planted radish.
My kids would have fun with that if we could be consistent about it.
Yeah, just a little journal. This is what we did today. Try to keep records for next year. And I also have harvest sheet. I have one sheet that I use every month, and it says sowing, garden, cultivating, harvesting, canning, barnyard, or something like that. Uh-huh. I don't remember the order that it's in. But if you could keep that for every single month and compile it at the end, then the next year you'll know what you did. Like, for instance, today we're working on the fruit trees. I'll work on them a little bit this afternoon, and then probably tomorrow, because it's time to spray them with neem oil. Because they're budding.
Yeah.
So we need to go ahead and prune them. If they're not pruned already, get them ready. Valentine's Day is when I prune my roses. So if you get in that cycle of knowing, when did you do it last year? How did it work? Did it not work? What was the good about it? What was the bad about it? It's a good idea. And we talked a little bit about heirlooms already.
We did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but heirlooms are not a bad thing. They're a good thing.
Yes.
But if you're working for production and you want to have a lot of things produced, you're going to look at a good F1 hybrid.
Yeah.
And if you email Johnny's or high mowing and talk to these people, this is their thing. They love this. Yeah. They will help you. They will help you figure out, master gardeners also. There's someone out there that'll give you guidance on what the best thing for your area is to grow.
The biggest thing I've heard with heirlooms is and this again goes back to, what's your goal? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And everyone's going to have a different answer, and that's fine. If you want to seed save, you definitely want heirloom plants.
Because it won't come back. If you're doing an F1, you know, it's a different generation.
Yes.
So you got to go, you're going to get one or the other. You're not going to get both.
Right.
So you have to go back to the heirloom if you want to seed save.
And that's the sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal is sustainability and not having to rely on outside mm-hmm. sources and being able to buy the seed from the company mm-hmm. once. One of the brands that I found, or not brands, I guess it's a company, maybe not a supplier, but they're just a company that sells the seeds, is Victory Seeds.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're all heirloom. Mm-hmm. You can get some pretty cool varieties from them. But if you want to save seeds mm-hmm. to be able to grow your own the next year and not have to repurchase seeds, then that's...
And really to save your seeds, we can talk about that in another episode. Yes. It's really simple.
Yeah.
It really is not rocket science. It's very, very simple. Yeah. Tomato, you just ferment them a little bit, and then you can dry them out, and you've got them for the next year.
Right.
And it's a good way to make sure you have your seeds for next year. And sometimes if you've got, you know, your bananas next to your California bells, you may make your own different new generation.
Oh yeah. By the second. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I put those peppers in, mm-hmm. in April, and I've harvested the last ones in November. the whole like spring, early summer crop mm-hmm. went, and then it was just keeping them hydrated enough right. to keep the plants alive. And then they really started producing again in the fall when it cooled off a little bit. And the jalapenos were less round shaped at the bottom.
Cool.
You know how like they're stubby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they started to become pointed, kind like of banana like banana peppers, mm-hmm. but they were still hot.
Yeah.
And the banana peppers so were you're spicier making your own. Later in the
and
season.
And you know, if you can keep doing that, then you're making your own.
Yes.
Your own heirloom variety.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Your
Once
own cross.
Once it stabilizes.
Once yeah. it stabilizes.
Yeah.
It's genetics. We're talking science, people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking science.
It's another fun Homeschool project
Homeschool moms.
To do with the kids.
That's right. It is a fun project.
We always bring it back to that.
But it's really simple to get your yeah. garden started. It just start small. Don't get really big and overwhelmed and you're going to make some Instagram stuff and go ahead. Not unless you're rich and you can do yeah. that. You got lots of money to burn. Go ahead yeah. and do that. But I would say go ahead and start and try to replace something that you're buying now from the grocery store, whether it be a lettuce, a carrot, get ready for tomatoes. Tomatoes are really hard to grow, guys.
Let's talk quantity really quick.
Talk quantity. Okay.
Because I know when I was newly married mm-hmm. and wanted to have a garden for the first time, mm-hmm. which I've been growing a garden in some shape or form since we got married. This year, I will be married 11 years. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot by messing
yes,
up and not
have.
Knowing what mm-hmm. I'm doing.
Thomas Edison, how I invented the light bulb.
In a
right?
lot of ways, not just gardening, but... So if you want tomatoes, fresh tomatoes all summer long or even all year long, whether you're going to preserve them or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you cannot only have one tomato plant.
You cannot. And I don't even know what the statistics are. You can Google, let's just say you're growing a brandy wine and
yeah.
you want to know how many pounds does a typical brandy wine produce.
Yeah.
And the information's out there.
Yeah.
And depending on what it is, I mean, sometimes
it's
only 5 pounds.
On, yeah. It's
right,
only going to depend
tomatoes.
On how much you water it, if
right.
you fertilize it. So
and whether
if,
it's a determinant or an indeterminate,
right.
which we haven't even talked about yet.
Right.
But,
that's okay. We can talk about that next
we'll
week.
We'll talk about that next week.
I just, if you want, so we talked about don't do any more than 5 varieties mm-hmm. if this is your first time mm-hmm. or you're new at this. But know that you're going to need more than one plant.
Oh, yeah.
Of
yeah.
Specifically, we'll talk tomatoes and peppers because those
sure.
are big ones that
mm-hmm.
people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to grow these. I'm going to replace them mm-hmm. at the grocery store. Yeah, you're going to need a lot more plants than
you're
going to
need a lot more plants.
And there's some books. What is it called? The Family Garden Planner by Melissa K. Norris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has a chart in hers. That's like, how many family members do you have and how many plants do you need per person?
Right.
And I think hers
I think
is for
you can
a
Google
year.
That too.
You mm-hmm. can Google it too. But it's a helpful chart. I pulled it out for us to use with our homestead science to see if maybe we could make some plans mm-hmm. for a couple of varieties so that the kids could participate in the planning process. But yeah, hers is like for if you want to mm-hmm. grow it for a year and be completely sustainable with that.
Right.
That
and another
prop.
Good source, I think we talked about it a while back, but square foot gardening mm-hmm. is really good for someone starting out.
Yeah.
You know how much distance, you know, how many plants you can put per square foot that you don't have to keep fertilizing so much
yeah.
once you're in a fertile soil. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
And then you can grow a lot in a square foot
oh,
garden.
Yes.
You
especially when you're planting things that complement each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the three sisters or
uh-huh.
something, you know, that the
Native Oh, that's a project. We're going to do mm-hmm. that one this
Are
summer.
You? Yeah. That's
yeah.
really fun. I mean, you really can.
Did you know there was a fourth sister?
No. What was it?
It can either be sunflowers or echinacea.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
But a sunflower would be good, actually,
yeah.
because it would provide support for the corn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would
yeah.
be really good.
And then you get also so if it was sunflower, you could press the seeds for oil.
Mm-hmm.
And echinacea, you get the medicinal benefits of
I did
echinacea.
Not know that. That's fabulous.
I can't remember where I read that first, but that got me so excited.
I know. That's
I totally
so
geeked out over
the fourth
that.
Sisters. We're doing the fourth sister.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are totally off the cuff with this one, guys. We didn't write it down.
Oh, we didn't write a script at all.
We didn't write a script at all. So we're... call
We've
us unprofessional
busy.
Just call us fun right
oh that's okay
but,
what are we talking about next week
oh let's see I do have that written down so
yeah.
next week we're going to be talking about start small grow something anything
yeah
so we're going to try to get to your notes if you've sent us emails or anything and so basically if you have questions on this Next week will be an expansion on this one to answer your questions. Maybe I think we talked about this last year.
Plants.
Yeah, we're going to talk about specific plants. So this week we would like you to write in your questions.
Yep.
Let us know.
I'll try to put some in like Instagram story boxes where they can send in questions.
They can send a question like a Google Sheet or something, Google Doc. And so, next week we're going to answer your questions in your particular zone. So if you get them to us earlier, if you can get them to me, like say Thursday or Friday, so I can research it maybe. Yeah. Let's see. We'll give more time. This one won't come out. So,
but I can ask for questions
early. Let's just say if you're listening to it on Thursday, if you could have it to us by Tuesday, that'll give me some, or maybe Monday night, that'll give us some time that we can research it and see whatever zone you're in, what would grow best for you if that's what you're looking for, or what varieties, even if you're wanting to grow flowers, or if you're wanting to grow lettuces, if you want some suggestions and recommendations on good varieties that would be good for your area, I'll do the best I can to get the research for you. Especially if you're in our area, I can probably find that one pretty easily. But we want you just to get started. We want you to start small. If you're feeling comfortable doing big, go do that. But we want you just to grow something, because the feeling you get once you grow your own food, and number two, taste that thing. Taste the food is unbelievable. It's so much different than you can ever imagine getting from a store. The one of the best foods that you can grow yourself that have the best taste is broccoli. If you've not had broccoli that you've grown yourself, it's not the same. It doesn't even come close to being the same.
Yeah.
The mailman years ago here, he would stop and he would walk. He'd see us in the garden, the kids and I, and he would walk out there and he would snap the broccoli off and eat it. And he said that he remembered that from his mama and his grandma's. That's the best food. It's just, and the sugar snap right off, the sugar snap peas right off the vine.
We always do snow peas and it's about, I need to plant some now. I don't have any trellises. That's another thing, infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We can talk about garden infrastructure maybe this month too. But we don't even make them inside with them. We just eat them out in the garden. It's so good. But
I usually eat that. That's my breakfast in the winter or in the spring when I'm out working is I just eat them off.
I'm going to tell a funny story about the broccoli. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last spring, almost a year ago now, I came over here and you said, "Hey, I've got broccoli growing in the high tunnel. Right. Go cut some broccoli for yourself and you can take it home." So I did. And this is organic broccoli that's not sprayed with anything.
Right.
Insecticides.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we sprayed nothing inside because it's got that netting. Yeah.
Right. There's nothing sprayed on it. Right.
So I think I remember this story. Uh-huh. Do you remember this? That's
funny. I take it home and I put it in the fridge, and I knew that I had company coming in town. I was like, oh, we'll eat that with, I'm just going to make spaghetti one night. And so we were going to have roasted broccoli on the side. Right. But then some of the kids wanted steamed broccoli. So we made both. And I used frozen broccoli for the steamed, and then I had this fresh broccoli for the roasted. And I make it. I rub like olive oil on it and salt and pepper. This has probably still been in the. It's been in the fridge for probably 5 or 6 days at this point. And we eat our dinner, and I had roasted broccoli on my plate, and I look down at my plate, and there's this green thing on my plate that was like. It kind of looked like it could have been part of a broccoli stem, but I didn't slice broccoli stem that thin.
Right.
And I picked it up on my fork and I showed my friend and I said, "Please tell me this is not what I think it is." She said,
"It's a worm."
"That's a worm." And I was like, "What? What?" So I fed my friend's wormy broccoli. I mean, it wasn't worms as in like gonna hurt you parasite worms. It was like
it was cabbage lopers.
I'll never live that one down. And from now on,
soak your vegetables in water.
I was like, "Oh, it's organic. I don't have to wash."
That's so funny that you say that, because when we first did the CSA, we were delivering up to the coffee house in Atmore. And we were doing the big Rubbermaid boxes full of vegetables at the time. And I would take them up there and sit between 9 and 12 on Friday. And I would wait for people to pick them up. And we had this one lady, she called me. She goes, "I just need to tell you this. And I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. But I need you to know this." And I said, "Okay, what's going on?" She said, "My mom cooked the cabbage." We had heads of like the Savoy cabbage. And she said, "We cooked it and it had a worm in it." And I said, oh, is everything all right? And she goes, but it had a worm in it.
Well,
and
yeah, I said, it's a well, plant in
it's,
a garden.
It's right. And she goes, I thought you were organic. I thought you were organic.
Are the
and
bugs not organic?
I just didn't know what to say.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, I was just like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You know, you do need to wash the vegetables before. But it's not like a grocery store. It's organic. But when you think about it.
What has the grocery store food been soaked in?
It's been, the reason you don't see them is because they've been sprayed.
Yeah.
If they don't have insects because they have been sprayed, unless they're, you know, organic, which they would start with a 9 on the sticker, if they're organic. But if they're, when in the store, think about this, you have organic tomatoes when you go to Publix right next to non-organic tomatoes. They're sitting right next to each other. I don't even understand that. There's not like a barrier or anything.
Yeah.
But I just, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I remember thinking.
We are so disconnected from where our food comes from.
Yeah, it is.
I learned a big lesson last year.
I had one, and I don't remember if it was Marissa. I know she's listening. But it was one of our members. And they, when I told them that story, they, like, well, that's how, when we see bugs, we know that you're our people.
Well, that's what we laughed afterwards. I didn't know whether to be embarrassed or grossed out. Like it took me days to process. I was so not sure how I felt. And the kids didn't get any of it. It was just the grownups that ate it. But I was like, well, I guess we know it's organic.
Right. And that's the point. It's like she's, you know, it's like, well, now you know Wendy's not lying to you.
Yeah.
They're not lying. Yeah. We really, if we did not have any bugs, now we try to, we don't want to rinse and clean too much because then that moves us into a different category according to the USDA.
Right.
We just want to rinse and then you need to clean. But
so how do you clean broccoli?
Then? We will rinse it. We have a washing station. We have barrels that we clean out.
So how would I do it at home?
Then? At home. So what I would do is I would take your sink, a clean sink, fill it up, put a little bit of vinegar, maybe baking soda in the water. And the reason I say baking soda, and I don't even know if this is real, but my grandmother used to say it would make the exoskeleton of the insect itch. So they would
move.
Like a bug would detach from whatever. And they would be floating and you could see them.
Okay.
So I always do that with
for
mine.
For how long
I'll
would you
get,
let
oh, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And if you ever get, when you get the lettuces from the store that are already cut and rinsed, triple washed, I would still rewash those.
Yeah.
And if you have.
That's where a lot of the contamination occurs is with those pre-cut
right.
and washed.
Right. Well, and they also use, and on some of them, they use a dilution of bleach.
Yeah.
In there, because it kills those things. I don't know all of the legalities, but I knew no even certified organic allows some of that, some portion of some sort of bleach, whether I don't know if it's actually chlorine or
so grow your own
something.
That's
yeah.
What we're
so grow your own. And if you see bugs in your produce, you can probably guess that they are not spraying with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really in reality, when you talk to a farmer and they say, oh yeah, you know, if you think they're really, even if they're conventional, trust me, they're not, a lot of them are not spraying what you think they're spraying because it is expensive.
Yeah.
If you have to spray your crops, those chemicals are not cheap.
Yeah.
They're very expensive, whether it's an herbicide or insecticide. So any farmer who's providing food, they're going to try really hard not to spray.
Yeah.
Rather to be frugal. And it may not be just because they're just trying to be organic. Because the majority of our farms, the bigger farms especially, they don't care about this. I mean, they don't see a really big difference in the two. They just don't have that that desire. They think it's okay. And for the most part, in reality, it's still better than what, if you're getting a local, conventionally grown vegetable, it's still better than getting one that's been trucked across the country. You know, it's a good, better, best. We are getting t-shirts. We just decided that.
Yes, we need to do our
we're going to do our t-shirts. So anyway, this was a good episode.
Yeah, so next time we'll talk about.
We're going to try to answer your questions.
Yep, we're going
to
answer your questions. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about starting small, growing something, anything.
Right.
And for the rest of the month, we're just going to talk about gardening.
Gardening and vegetables.
Maybe
and
we'll give
flowers.
Some greenhouse tours mm-hmm. yeah. and show you what our garden, our spring garden prep looks like so far. Mm-hmm. We'll have to give updates in the coming
months.
We'll
do that. And maybe it's really kind of overcast here. We could have done some videos in the high tunnel for Patreon. But Patreon guys, hang in there. We'll get to you for sure. But we'll get some videos out to you so you can see what's going on. And if you're on Patreon, do they have a place where they can comment or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah, so if you are a Patreon member and there's something that you specifically want to see, let us know. We will make it happen. But we'll definitely do a high tunnel tour and some seed starting tours about things that are growing and how things are laid out. And if you have any questions at all, just leave in the comments and we will get to them. And share your pantries.
Yes.
Share your pictures of your pantries. We're still waiting on those.
Pantries.
Share your pantries.
Yep, we would love that.
Well, that was a good episode, James. Thank you.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next time.
We'll see you guys next time. Have a good week.
Bye.